Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 23. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
You can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, how was the big weekend?
It was pretty low-key for me. I stayed in mostly. It was snowy and cold here in Chicago and didn't really have much interest in going out. Although, on Thursday night, before the weekend, I did pop over to UIC and watch the Flames take on Detroit Mercy.
Oh, yeah, Detroit Mercy, sure.
Down the road here from the Racine Studios and got a chance to see the second leading scorer in the country. He's a freshman by the name of Antoine Davis. And you may remember his father, Mike Davis, was the ex-coach of Indiana after Bob Knight was fired.
I remember him.
Had a stop at North Texas, I think, somewhere down there. Mm-hmm. And now he's at Detroit. This is his first year coaching there. And Antoine is one hell of a scorer.
Is he?
Yeah.
How tall is he?
He's 6'1", rail thin. I think he weighs like a buck 50, his brother was telling us. And he probably hit the deck about five times during the game. But he ended up with 27 points right on average. Detroit got destroyed, though, in the game.
You got to see the leading scorer, and then you got to see a victory by the Flames.
Yeah, he's definitely a human highlight reel. How was your weekend?
Well, as I noted before the pod, I had kind of a wild Saturday night.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joy District. Actually, shout out to Green Street Meats, man. That was I kind of had a experience where a friend of mine kind of invited me out, and you know, it was snowy and crappy out, as we talked about. And I'm like, he's like, hey, do you want to get some ribs? And for those of you know me, I don't eat a lot of meat, but hey, if you're gonna have meat, I guess you go to Green Street. There's a little plug.
Oh yeah, it's a neighborhood staple. One of my favorite spots. You sometimes have to wait about an hour to get food, but outside of that, it's fabulous.
It was really good. We had this like Yabba Dabba Doo Flintstone rib, beef rib, and then some cocktails, some brisket. And then we went to Joy District, which is kind of an upscale Hubbard place, you know, kind of an in-between nightclub and bar. And one of my friend's friends is the bartender there. And before I knew it, it was bottle service and shots for everybody on Jimmy Wegg. So it was definitely a great time until everybody started getting sick left and right. But, I mean, anytime you stay off until 3, 3:30 in the morning on a January night in the freezing cold, you did something right.
Yeah, I think those nights are behind me.
Oh, well, as you know, Action, nothing's behind me these days.
Well, I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it. How about any wagering action?
I did okay this weekend. Yeah, I won some bets in college. I think it was 3-1 this week, so that's pretty good for college basketball. So, you know, obviously with no NFL, I didn't know what to do. But for the week, 3-1, which is a little bit light, but, you know, I'm definitely getting my metrics down. So it was a good week.
Yeah, how about any Pro Bowl action?
The over-under on viewers or watching the Pro Bowl? No, I did not bet on the Pro Bowl.
Okay, I did.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, sharp money on the under. 50. It was 59.5, bet all the way down to 56, and I hopped in at like 57, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw, but the AFC just manhandled them. The clapper for the NFC just couldn't do anything at all.
Of course, it was a rainy day, destroyed. Too, right? It was a rainy. Yeah. Rainy
the weather didn't help, obviously.
I haven't seen the Pro Bowl in probably a decade, but good for you.
I didn't watch either. I just cashed my ticket at the end.
Hey, man. Cash is like that. So, all right, let's go over the outline for the episode. We've got a huge one today. As we talked about, this is kind of our Super Bowl bonanza preview. But before that, we'll get into our legislative updates. There was actually a couple things that are exciting out there that we'll talk about. We'll go over the head-to-head from last week. You already mentioned the Pro Bowl. We'll go into the NFL, and this will be an extensive segment on kind of how to bet these props, or at least kind of how to approach them and correlations and such. There's a ton of them out there, and we'll go over a handful. Then we'll also basically bust into a little bit about golf. My Action wants to talk about how to bet golf. The Phoenix Open started today, and you know he was looking at that leaderboard and kind of maybe he's going to win some money there. We'll jump into college hoops as well. We're heavy into the conference season now. There's some great games going on, and you know we've got some metrics floating, and hopefully we'll direct you in the right direction. And then finally, we'll basically go over our picks for college basketball. the NBA light touch, as well as the first period over puck line bets until we get into our finally our head-to-head segment, and that seems like 2 hours away, but what do you say to that, Action?
Yeah, it looks like a great show. For those of you out there who don't know, we're recording on Thursday night this week. Right. We're looking at a new schedule here, which better aligns with the basketball schedules, Saturday game days.
That's right.
And then we can get into some Sunday action, too, on those days.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll be switching the schedule soon. So, all right, the legislative update. The first thing I pulled is that Arizona appears to be the next state that's going to be become legal for gambling. There's been an agreement with the tribal partners of the state who run all the operate all the casinos that they're going to allow licensed kiosks in bars and private clubs like VFW halls. This bill has been proposed. It's not passed yet, but it's clear they're going to continue to have the control in the tribal partners' hands, but you're going to be able to bet outside of the casinos, which is kind of a different model than we've seen so far.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool. I've been to Arizona for a few guys' trips, as I know you have too, and a lot of those bars and restaurants are going to be set up for it perfectly, and there's all kinds of sports going on there too, with spring training and baseball.
No doubt.
And then lots of events that happen at the football stadium as well.
That's right. There was no mention of an online, like an app-type access, but maybe that's to follow. We'll see. The other update isn't legislative. It's just a kind of more update about information gambling. Is the VSiN is going to do their betcast for the Super Bowl on Fubo TV. You saw that earlier in the year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did one for the national championship game, too, between Clemson and Alabama. I didn't catch any of it, but I heard it was very successful, and I'm sure they'll get even more viewers this time around.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's kind of a cool concept. You kind of maybe learn about live wagering and monitoring all your prop bets and obviously analysis of the game as well. So I think it'd be kind of an interesting alternative way to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of stats, too, on the side. So you can monitor your props and figure out if you need to hedge one way or another, whether a player gets a certain number of receptions or yardage, rushing, or receiving.
That's right. That's right. That's the way you do it. Okay, let's go over our recap from the head-to-head from last week. It was a split this week. You know, every now and then we do a split. The first game was Washington at Oregon. Oregon were 3-point favorites. And I'm telling you right now, Washington's one of my teams. They are probably the best team in the Pac-12, in my opinion. They stayed red hot. They took out the Ducks 61-56. And they also actually covered a bet that I had later against Oregon State on Saturday, making them 4-0 against the spread at that time, and now they're 5-0 after last night's action.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught this game, Wags, but I was watching, and Washington came out to an incredibly hot start. Mm-hmm. I think they were leading by 10 or so at halftime, and I quickly realized I was on the wrong side, and I actually bet Washington in the second half -5.
Okay.
And as they were coming down to the wire, Washington blew a huge lead. I think Oregon even tied the game at one point.
Wow.
And it was tied with about 8 seconds left, and Washington came down and got their basket. Oregon came back down, missed, and then with like 1/10 of a second left, they fouled Washington player shooting a three. So I needed the 3 free throws to go in just to push on my second half bet, and he made all 3 of them.
That a boy.
That was great.
Send that guy a Christmas basket there. So that's awesome. Yeah, Washington's making it happen. They're playing well on the road as well. So I'm glad you got their second half cover and happy to get the win in the head-to-head. Mm-hmm. The next game is Michigan at Indiana. Michigan were 4-point favorites on the road. What do you have to say about your Hoosiers?
Not much. This was a very ugly game. Probably one of the worst Indiana basketball performances that I've seen in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo Langford just appears to be wrong, disinterested in playing basketball. He's in some sort of funk out there. I've never seen him like that before. He just is not focused on the game. He's making bad errors, turnovers. He's shooting 3-pointers that really isn't in his repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
This Indiana team is in some serious dysfunction right now. Then they went on the road to lose again last night at Rutgers.
I know. They lost to Rutgers, too. I don't know what's going on with this team. Archie Miller needs to do something. I don't know what he needs to do. Change up that, because they were playing pretty well early in the year. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he's kind of lost this team. And as I noted, you know, the Wolverines win, you know, 69-46. I mean, that game wasn't even close really at any point. So
wire to wire, they just ran them out of the gym.
And that's what they do when they play great defense. The next game, Iowa State at Mississippi. This is part of the Big 12 SEC Classic, and it was actually won by the Big 12, I think, overall, right? But in this game, actually, this game actually followed suit. Iowa State, they were getting 1 point on the road. But Cyclones jumped all over the Rebs right away. They were hitting 50% of their shots from three early. The Rebs made a run at the end of the first half. They kind of cut the lead down, but in the end, they just kind of got trounced 87-73 at home, and they're really not that great of a team against the spread at Ole Miss, but they are being much more competitive in general, as we've talked about in previous podcasts.
Yeah, the Iowa State Cyclones looked really good on Saturday. Like you mentioned, their shooting percentage was off the charts, and I think that may be a little bit more to Mississippi's poor defense. Mm-hmm. But all in all, this team looks fantastic right now, and it led me to placing a futures bet, which we'll talk about later.
Ooh, I like that. The last game was Toronto, the Raptors against the Rockets in the NBA, our first NBA head-to-head. I think I got a little misled on this one. Not that Action was trying to dupe me, but he was giving me the line of Houston minus three at home against Toronto. And to be honest with you, that was the right side of the whole game. Yeah. Houston was killing this team. Even with Kawhi back in the lineup, they were up by 12 with 1:34 to play, and the Raptors just started bombing threes. They made four threes in a row. And basically, they had a chance to win the game with Kawhi at the end, and he missed it. The Rockets, they win the game 121-119, but Action gets the cover.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild game. I was watching a little bit of it, and Toronto was down the whole game. There's no doubt about that. You definitely had the right side, but I'll take the offline and the one-point cover for the head-to-head.
Yeah, because originally, actually, when I checked it later, the closing line was 3 points for Toronto, so that's why I was saying I was getting a wrong line.
But yeah, 6 points off, no doubt.
It happens.
Another point I just wanted to add regarding the Pro Bowl is that the AFC ran up the score a little bit in the fourth quarter. I was reading they could have kneeled on the ball, and they kind of did some run and gun offense and even scored a late touchdown within the last minute. And I think it may have upset some of the NFC players there towards the end. So something to keep in mind for next season. We'll have these notes, and maybe we'll talk about it next year. But the NFC may have some revenge on their minds going into next year's Pro Bowl.
Revenge at the Pro Bowl. Wow. Who knew? All right, let's talk about the NFL. This is going to be a nice segment here. We've got a lot of information.
NFL, there's something going on this weekend?
Yeah, I think there's something. Maybe the biggest game of the year?
Uh-huh.
So the Super Bowl, we're going down to Atlanta for this big game, although I heard they shut down everything yesterday because they had the chance of a half an inch of snow.
Snowmageddon 2019. I wish we could share some of our weather with them.
I think we've had like 14 inches over the last week, so what can you say? But New England right now is a 2.5-point favorite in the game. The total is 56.5. As we talked about last week, it kind of opened originally when before New England beat the Chiefs in overtime. The Rams were actually a 1-point favorite, and then that flipped all the way to New England and actually got up to 3 at one point. So that's kind of the line right now. You've got Todd Gurley. What's that going on with this guy? I mean, nobody knows.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, and there hasn't really been any clarity on Todd Gurley's injury status. But, you know, in some doing some reading and listening to as much media coverage as I can find, it looks like he's really pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that perhaps they just know that he has a degraded knee. You know, this is a problem that he's had ever since he came out of Georgia in college. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that maybe they were just holding him back a little bit in order to keep him healthy for this Super Bowl game.
Interesting idea. I think that for me, he's kept the party line where he just wants to win and everything, but and CJ Anderson has played well, and that always, you know, helps when you have another guy picking it up. But if they're going to beat New England, they need Gurley to play better. You also said that Zuerlein popped up on the report, huh?
Yeah, Greg Zuerlein, I read, picked up an ankle injury during the halftime warm-ups of the NFC Championship game, which was kind of strange. Obviously, it didn't affect him too much. He busted those two huge kicks, one to tie the game and one to end it. So I wouldn't really be worried about it, and I don't think it's going to move the needle much in terms of the game total or the spread, but it certainly had me pausing a little bit as I was looking at some of the kicking props for this game, because even if he is 100%, one small little twinge in his ankle can throw him off mentally and may have a kick miss or two, or even have Coach McVay decide not to have a kick in a certain situation if he knows that Zuerlein's not 100%.
So. Sure. Good idea. Well, before we jump into the specifics of these prop bets and kind of situational spots, why don't you go over what exactly is a prop bet or proposition bet?
Yeah, so a proposition is basically any kind of bet that's different than the normal bets that we talk about or that you probably see all the time, which is the outcome of a game whether it's the winner or the total. Mm-hmm. A prop bet is anything outside of that. So it's usually something that can be statistically measured or observed during the game. Mm-hmm. Some common prop bets involve yes or no outcomes or over unders in statistical categories. Mm-hmm. And the Super Bowl is the one event which really created the idea of the prop. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, I think it was the Bears 85 Super Bowl when Refrigerator Perry caught the touchdown.
That's right.
It was like really when props came into existence and mm-hmm. really blew up as that occasion. So this is the one game which historically offers the largest number of different prop offerings, and it spans a very wide variety, including even cross-sport mm-hmm. props or entertainment props too, mm-hmm. such as Maroon 5 and the halftime performance.
Yeah, will Adam Levine wear a hat?
Uh-huh.
Yes or no? But what I think is interesting is you said it. Well, first of all, there's a lot of eyeballs in this game, right? Everybody's watching this game, the one game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually football has more than one game on the weekend. So this is the one game. And then you've got so many viewers, and obviously the ads and the corporate America is all watching too with all their advertising. So there's just so many things to consider. But I mean, I used to run a little mini prop board when I used to do uh-huh. a Super Bowl party at Ida, where I used to work. And it was fun. You just kind of did, okay, you know, different. You could basically do anything possible. And a lot of the offshore books do more of the prop bets than the casinos, right?
Yeah. In fact, the offshore books have the opportunity to do a lot of entertainment-based props, like mm-hmm. you had mentioned. And they can also do props on the commercials, too,
yeah.
and the commercial breaks. But in Vegas and Las Vegas and Nevada specifically, there are gaming commission rules that do not allow propositions based on entertainment in terms of like the length of the national anthem or the color of someone's shirt or the number of Bud Light commercials that show up. Those are not allowed in Nevada.
Right, exactly. So actually, this is a good way for you to start your use your online app yeah. and do your offshore booking.
And actually, Nevada disallows any of the MVP props too.
Oh, really?
Because it's not something that can be measured. It's actually voted on. And I did read that in New Jersey, they are allowed to do MVP props. So
okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Interesting. So you've listed here that there's several factors to consider when you want to pick your Super Bowl prop. I mean, obviously, if you're just with your buddies and, you know, you're kicking it, hey, this is perfectly Broccoli Bob moment. I can just see him being involved in this stuff, but or it's pure enjoyment. But what other factors are you considering when you do these props?
Well, first of all, you need to decide either you're going to be making these prop bets for your pure enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, you might pick out some of the entertainment ones or the color of the Gatorade
right.
or the coin toss, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to make these prop bet wagers with the intent on building up your bankroll?
Right.
Because there's kind of a clear line in the sand about which side you're going to go on. And certainly you could pick out one from each side and bet on both. But if you're looking to build your bankroll, then you're going to want to focus on the props that are measured more by projected game flow mm-hmm. and statistics and records and things and events and outcomes that have happened throughout the season.
Right.
So you're looking at what have the Patriots players done throughout the season? What's their offensive game flow looked like in the past six Super Bowls, mm-hmm. for example? Or what does Coach Sean McVay like to do in these certain situations against a defense that plays like the Patriots?
Right.
Those are the ones that you're going to want to look for if you're trying to build your bankroll, because there can be some serious value in those.
Okay. The other thing I would say, and I'm thinking about it for myself, is that I've been very consistent at the amount of money I've spent every week for the since the start of the college football season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to think through how much, basically have a budget. How much are you really willing to put out there, you know, in exposure? Because I don't want to risk my whole bankroll on the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no point in me trying to throw some money on Gatorade and Left Shark, whatever, until I really feel comfortable with it. So, I mean, the way I've approached it is, you know, and I'm a very frugal bettor, I'm going to only do like three props or something, you know, three
okay.
$10 props. And then I'm going to do a couple game picks, and I'm going to stick within my $50 to $70 range of betting per week.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if you're at a party and you're having a great time and you're going to throw some extra money, and that's fine as long as you keep it in the budget, or maybe that's outside of your actual bankroll. So you're, you don't really consider it part of your bankroll, you know?
Yeah, certainly true. You could put some of your entertainment budget towards the entertainment props.
Exactly.
For example.
Like if you go to a Super Bowl party, you bring some cash. There you go.
You make a really great point too. Everyone out there needs to understand that this is just one game.
One game.
And a season of many of them. So just because it's the Super Bowl and you're sitting down watching it at a party, certainly don't go wild unless you think you have an edge on these.
Exactly. So you've mentioned here one of the things you can think about is correlation with these props. Do you want to explain that concept?
Yeah. So a lot of these props are going to be extremely correlated. You'll need to make sure you take notice of that as you're making the wagers. For example, if you really like Sony Michel, the Patriots running back, to have a lot of carries and to rush for a lot of yards or score a lot of touchdowns, then that's probably going to lessen the chances that Tom Brady has a big game and throws for 350 yards and has 39 pass attempts or something to that effect, or even James White for that matter.
Sure.
If it's a big Sony Michel game, it's unlikely that James White's going to get a lot of receptions. So those are the things that you need to consider when you're making these prop bets. And perhaps maybe you want to hedge a little bit too by picking one side of those correlated props as well, because you don't want to put all your chips into one basket,
right?
Thinking the game script is going to go one way, then if it's a little bit lower scoring game, then you may get busted pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you have to think about maybe a couple different options in terms of game script. Look at it. I mean, for me, I kind of have an idea of what I think this game is going to be, and that's going to influence my bets, especially on the game. But with the props, I am kind of using it as a hedge in effect, because you know, I do believe this is going to be a lower scoring game. We'll talk about that later. But in doing that, I think that's going to be more rushing. I mean, it's Todd Gurley or Sony Michel, right? So that's, you know, but at the same time, it you don't want to put all your eggs. Maybe you put a couple on Tom Brady because he's thrown for, what, over 400 yards the last two Super Bowls?
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah. The first one, they had to come back from a huge deficit. And then last year was obviously the highest scoring game ever. So
he still did it.
You also want to make sure that you shop around, just like we talk about with the games and totals. Different books offer a very wide-ranging varieties of props, and not only the VIG that you'll find on each side, but also the totals in some of the statistical categories, too.
Right.
So make sure you shop around. Don't lay a bad number if you can find something for less.
For better. You also say do your math homework, and is that with the VIG? Is that what you're talking about?
Yep, exactly. So every single prop is priced out by the odds makers based on the probability of the outcome actually occurring. So you can consider some of these props as you're looking at them and try to debate to yourself, what's the actual probability of an event happening? And I've gone through and kind of taught myself how to convert these odds from a negative odds, for example, something that's favored, to what the percentage of that would be.
Okay.
And there's a little simple math equation that you can do to figure out what that percentage is. For example, one prop I picked out was Philip Dorsett to not score a touchdown, which is minus 300. To figure that probability, you take 300 over 100 plus the 300 to get 1 over 4, and that tells you that there's a 75% chance that he does not score a touchdown.
Right.
Or a 25% chance that he does. So I would go back and kind of check Philip Dorsett's numbers over the years with the Patriots and see, what do I think there's a greater chance of 25 that he'll score or not?
Right. You look at the games, see how many times he scored in games, and there you go. And then obviously kind of around game script too, you're talking about, and you look at certain props that, you know, James White, you've got here listed that, you know, his over-under for receptions is 4.5. Well, the guy's had games where he's had huge games.
Yeah.
But obviously how many times did he go under that for the season?
Yeah, true. I think in the Super Bowl against Atlanta, he had something crazy like 15 or 17 receptions.
He was insane. But they were obviously losing by a ton and they had to come back and they just checked down like every time.
Yeah. The other thing is easy for you to figure too. If you look at both sides of these two-way props, then you can determine how much the book is actually charging, because a lot of the probabilities will actually add up to over 100, and that small percentage over is what the book charges, because in theory they're going to have the same number of bets on either side and they're charging that VIG much like they do every other bet.
Interesting. So when we roll into this, you said the sharps love betting the no on a score of a TD by a given player.
Yeah, the sharps love to bet no's and unders. As you may remember, they got busted pretty bad last year in that Philadelphia-New England game. But overall, in general, you're going to find more value on betting the no, because that the public loves betting the yes.
Sure.
They see, oh, Rob Gronkowski to score a touchdown, yes, plus money. Oh, I'm going to jump all over that. But really, the value's in the no on a lot of those outcomes, and just something I wanted to mention. And also, too, there's people love to bet the MVP props and the first touchdown score, of those prop bets that show you the long laundry list of all the players with these huge, massive payouts. Mm-hmm. I would be a little bit careful about putting your money down on those because they're really losing propositions in the end. You might hit one of those every once in a while and score big, but if you do the math on those, on all the players and the actual probabilities, the book takes a huge rake on those.
Oh, I bet. Of course. I mean, come on. Only one person can win.
It's a lot easier for them to hide it, too, when you have 8 or 10 different outcomes as opposed to 2 in the yes or no props.
That's true. So let's go over some of these props that you've identified and some of them I've put in there, too. So Gurley, we talked about him. We don't really know. We think he's healthy, most likely. So his rush attempts at this point are at 14 and a half rushing attempts. The over is +110 and the under is -130. What do you think about that one?
Well, I put these on here because I thought it was going to be very interesting to see where they opened up at. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about last week with his knee injury, no one really knows what he's going to go at here in the Super Bowl. And 14.5 to me seems like a little bit of a high number, mm-hmm. which obviously you can tell by the VIG, the books are charging -130 to go under. Mm-hmm. And I have been reading that the Sharps buried Todd Gurley in the under in a lot of his props. Mm. So that may tell you where they think his health is at.
Interesting. And then you've also got rushing yards, 60.5, kind of correlated there.
Yeah, actually, his rushing yards, Todd Gurley, opened up closer to like 70.
Interesting.
And got that down to 56 or 57 in some spots before it settled back in about that 60 number. So
interesting.
I think that turned out to be a buy point for a lot of these Sharps right around that 55, 56 range. And then so the juice is on the over right now at that number 60.5.
Interesting. And then obviously C.J. Anderson, because it's kind of the flip side of it. Mm-hmm. So he's at 10.5 carries, attempts. And the over-under is basically even money at -110.
Yeah, this one I do like, actually. I think I'm going to be betting C.J. Anderson under on the rushing attempts. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that Todd Gurley and the Rams, to have some success on offense, are going to have to run with Gurley a little bit more.
Right.
And even if that becomes unsuccessful, I think there's a good chance that they're going to get down in the game, which is probably going to limit future rushing attempts. And if they're playing from behind, it's unlikely that C.J. Anderson's going to get many carries in the second half. So I'm probably going to be betting that one under the 10.5 carries.
Right. And you also could think about that maybe, perhaps, if the Rams are going to win this game, that maybe they, Goff's going to throw the ball a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be less carries to go around. I do think the Patriots will try to stop the run, period. But we'll see if they'll be successful. We already talked about the James White receptions number and what he did 2 years ago. And the Dorsett, you already mentioned that. So some of the other props that I was looking at, I guess you might have put this one in there. If New England scores in the first quarter, because that's obviously they didn't – the last – 2 Super Bowls, at least, maybe 3, they haven't scored in the first quarter.
It goes back much further than that.
Really?
They've played in 8 Super Bowls in the Tom Brady, Belichick era, and they have a grand total of 3 points.
Wow.
3 points in the first quarter, and they scored that field goal in last year's Super Bowl.
Oh, nice.
So the first 7, the New England Patriots got out of the first quarter with a big fat 0 up there.
And so it's -120 for the no. Right.
So New England to score first is -120.
I see. Yeah. I see. I got you.
Yeah. I am interested in the first quarter under, although the juice has kind of gotten quite a bit away on that -140 at 10.5 points. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not going to be playing that. But there are some other props where I think you can get some money in on a pretty low scoring first quarter.
Okay.
As well.
You have another one. No score in the first 5.5 minutes of the game.
Yep. And actually, this is the one. Just like I said, these Super Bowls tend to start out very slow, mm-hmm. much like many big games do. And Bill Belichick oftentimes will defer. And Sean McVay will defer, too. And in fact, Belichick has taken the ball a number of times recently. So
yeah, he did against Kansas City.
Kind of going back to the last prop, New England to score first. I think that's why you have some pretty good value there for them to score first at -120. Mm-hmm. And then you've seen New England go on these long, sustained drives in the past 2 weeks against San Diego. And then again last week against Kansas City. So I think there's some value in laying the -125 for no score in the first 5.5 minutes of the game.
Hmm. Interesting. I guess that makes sense. It could be a long drive and everything. That they're not going to beat you with a deep play. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I also roughing the passer, the yes-no. We got -170 for the no and +130 for the yes. I'm actually a little surprised. I would think the yes would be higher, but maybe that's because roughing the passer, they call that up, it seems like, every game. But Who knows? Yeah,
I actually thought there might be some value on the no initially in looking at this. And I went through and I pulled some penalty statistics from the season. Mm-hmm. And it actually appears that they call a roughing the passer penalty on average about one every other game. Okay. So in reality, I crunched the numbers and I don't really think that there's value here laying the no minus 170. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to catch me betting on the other side either. Although Tom Brady does draw some penalties every now and then, I'm probably going to stay away from this one.
Okay. You've got some James Devlin rushing rushing and receiving yards.
Yep. So the New
three
England,
and a half?
The New England Patriots have three healthy running backs now.
They do.
With Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, and James White. James Devlin is really the fullback and rarely gets the ball. In fact, I looked back over the season and the under in this 3.5 total yards would have covered in 67% of the Patriots games this season.
Okay.
And I think that if you're going under at -1.25 here, you're getting pretty good value there. Mm-hmm. I think it's very unlikely that Devlin gets more than one carry, maybe at the goal line.
At the goal line, which is a yard. Yeah,
so that's sure. A yard max right there. For him to get more than one touch in this game would be a huge upset. And I think this is probably one of my favorite props that I took is James Devlin under.
You also have Aaron Donald tackles and assists, which that's a tough one, but okay. And it's over...
Oh, I didn't put the number on here. It's 4.5.
Okay, four and a half.
Yep.
Tackles and assists. And does a sack count as a tackle or an assist?
I believe it does, yes. I don't think that Aaron Donald's going to get to Tom Brady. He may pick up a few tackles here and there on the inside runs. C.J. Anderson specifically has been running inside.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to get to 4.5, I think is a big ask here. And I took this one under, -120.
I think you meant Sony Michel.
Yeah, Sony Michel. Yes, thank you.
Well, you know, I think that realistically, we know that Belichick takes away the best players, right? So you figure Donald at least is going to be double teamed every time. Sue maybe too. I'm going to make those other guys make tackles. So it probably does make sense that the under is the value here.
I think it's probably just inflated because Aaron Donald is like the defensive player that everyone talks about in this game.
That's
so
right.
Going under 4.5, I think you're getting some value there.
Mm-hmm. So as we transition to the MVP props, which I know you hate, but I've already bet. First of all, Brady is the favorite, and he's even at the favorite, the no is -140, which still isn't bad, and he's yes at +100, at least when I pulled it. But overall, for the list, he's +125, I guess. And then Goff, +250, Gurley, +1200, although I got +1000.
Nice.
Michelle, +1600, Anderson, +1600, and there's your Aaron Donald, +1600.
Yeah. James White at 2,000. I think that's unlikely because if he was ever going to win it, it would have been in that game 2 years
ago. Atlanta, exactly. Edelman +2,500, Gronk +4,000, and Sue +8,000. I put that on there because everybody's talking about Donald, but you know Sue's been playing great, and it's pretty likely that the Patriots are going to try to take away Donald. Maybe Sue has a huge game, and you know a defensive player could win it this time. You never know.
Yeah, well, as we're talking about this, I thought of one more prop that I really like.
okay.
No defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown in the game.
That's the Paulie Howard.
-240, so okay. I'm on that one as well.
You're on that one?
Yeah.
There you go. And then the first score props is, again, Action hates these. I didn't bet on this one yet, but Gurley's the favorite at +550, Michelle +600, Anderson +1,000, Edelman 1,000, Gronk 1,000, and then you get defensive touchdowns too. So Rams DST +2,500 and Patriots +2,500, which could be a kickoff return. You never know.
Yeah. In these games, every once in a while, I like to play the no touchdown scored in game, but I don't think that one's happening.
Not this time. I had to put on the Roby Coleman called for a PI. So yes is +200 and then no -300. That's kind of a big disparity there. You have any ideas on that one?
I would probably lean towards the no. I think the chances of one specific defensive back getting called for a PI is pretty unlikely. Although the Patriots do get a lot of calls. There's no doubt about that.
They do. And then the Super Bowl record for combined score is 75 points. I thought this was interesting that if that was to be broken, yes is +500 and the no is -1,000.
I'll gladly take the no there.
I'm not putting that much money on that. So. All right. Well, before we transition.
Before we jump, do you have any opinions on the game or are we going to save that for the head-to-head?
Let's save that for the head-to-head. Okay. I mean, I have some opinions, but let's discuss in detail there. All Let's transition back into other sports. We've got the golf and the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open started today. Why don't you talk how you can bet on golf?
Yeah, well, I was planning to talk about my pick for the tournament, which was Ricky Fowler, who coincidentally jumped out to the lead today.
Of course.
But there are other ways that you can bet on golf besides just picking the winner. There's tons of different props that are available now where you can bet on head-to-head matchups, head-to-head in a certain round, or also one I particularly like is groups of three, where you can pick out the player to score lowest in a certain round based on their group. And all of these have different odds, obviously. But golf is something that I've just started dabbling into a little bit, and I'd like to learn more about it and share with our listeners.
Yeah, great. I've done fantasy contests for golf. I won some money. It's actually pretty fun. And it's what made me – I golf not well. We've talked – Mikey's a great golfer, your cousin. But I love watching these guys. They're incredible. They're great players. It is difficult. Like, I love Ricky Fowler, but he hasn't won a major, and – I always try to put some money on him or something, you know, but he can't come through. But I think these early tournaments are probably where you can get some value when nobody's paying attention, and maybe you can get some. So hopefully you'll win that Ricky Fowler one.
Yeah, and I love the Waste Management Open. Happened to be there last year and fell in love with the tournament. It's a great time, and I'll definitely be tuning in a little bit this weekend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, well, let's do another big segment, College Hoops. A little recap from last week. Kentucky took down Kansas in the big game for Saturday night. It looks like Kansas is kind of on the slide. They lost again this week.
Yeah.
They got destroyed on the glass, 47-35, huh?
Yeah, that was one thing that I took from this game. And actually, Kansas jumped out to a lead at halftime in this one. They were up three, and Kentucky just turned it on in the second half. They ended up out-rebounding the Jayhawks 47-35, and it made me think that, boy, do they miss Azubuike. And I'm going to be looking for teams going forward that rebound really well and fade Kansas in those games, because they obviously are struggling to rebound.
They are. And the other thing is Kentucky's playing great basketball. They've jumped into the top 10 for KenPom. This team is legit. I can't wait till they play Tennessee. That's going to be a grudge match. So it'll be fun. Another one, you had Missouri. They were getting 5.5 on the road, and they had a bad beat, huh?
This one was epic. I happened to be on LSU in this game, so it turned out okay for me. I had LSU minus 5, but
they're playing good basketball too.
This was part of that SEC Big 12 challenge again, and Missouri was getting 5.5 at home against LSU. They were destroying LSU the whole game. We're up 14 points with 2 minutes left in regulation, and they went on to lose in six by overtime. lose by six in overtime. And to make matters worse, at the end of overtime, LSU was up 85-80, and Jordan Geist from Missouri missed a three-pointer that would have ended the game and covered for Missouri, but he sprints across the floor and fouls LSU with 0.9 seconds left.
Oh, God.
And then he came down and hit both free throws, or one out of two, and they ended up winning by six and covering the 5.5 by half a point.
Wow.
It was wild. Well, and probably one of the worst bad beats in quite some time.
That's about as bad as it gets.
You know, sometimes it goes both ways. You know, I won that bet, obviously, in a game that I had no business covering, but it goes the other way, too, and you lose something like that sometimes, too.
No doubt. You said that LSU blew a cover against Georgia earlier in the week, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was on them earlier in the week, too, and they were up 12 with 15 seconds left as an 11-point favorite, and they threw a NBA Jam alley-oop off the backboard. The guy didn't catch it, and UGA came down and hit a three at the buzzer to cover the game.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
It was very hilarious, except for that I lost.
You noted that Josh Langford for Michigan State is out for the season with an ankle injury. That's tough, although he's been out for a few games already.
Yeah, he's been out probably several weeks now, 3 to 4 weeks.
And they've actually played great. So.
They're playing great without him, so I'm sure it won't change too much, but I think they were definitely looking forward to getting him back and could alter their national championship odds slightly.
Could be. And he also noted that Nevada first halves, they're kind of starting off slow as they did against the Rams.
Yeah, had Colorado State covered the first half against them last week. Nevada just has a little bit of a first half funk lately, and they turn it around going into the second half. But they did cover pretty handily the other night. I forget the opponent, but they're turning it around. Something I'm just keeping an eye on.
Yeah, for the game, they're usually covering, but they're starting off slow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just quickly over my KenPom AP review, I've got a couple tidbits here. First of all, the overrated teams, even though I'm telling you, Marquette still is not, I don't know, their metrics aren't good, but they are covering a lot of games. They are 10 in the AP, but they're 35 in KenPom. So
quite a disparity.
Big disparity, but they keep covering the numbers. NC State is 23rd in the AP, but they're 29th in KP. So, I mean, it's close. It's close. But Mississippi State's one of those teams I don't believe in right now. They're 22nd ranked, and they are 27th in KenPom. They play pretty good defense, but they can't cover the number from what I've seen. And then the underrated teams, and I keep putting them on here, but I can't trust Nebraska, and they lost again last night.
They are definitely trending downward.
They were 36th in the AP, at least, and then 22nd in KenPom. That was before last night's game. And then Auburn, I do like that team. They're 17 in KenPom, but 26th in the AP. And Cincinnati, this is a team that nobody talks about, but this is a hard-nosed team that I like. They're 27 in the AP, and they're 24th in KenPom. So they really should be ranked in the top 25. Some of the numbers that I like for against the spread lately, Sparty, although your Purdue Boilermakers got them.
Yeah, I got to them on Sunday.
They're 5-1. Tennessee's 5-2 in their last seven. Purdue, 5-1, and I got money on them tonight. Let's hope they do it. Nevada, we just talked about it for the game, 4-1. TCU, this is before their beatdown, I think. They're 4-2. And LSU, they're 3-1. I think they won again last night. They're probably 4-1
now.
They're 3-1
4-1. Another cover last night for the Tigers.
Marquette, also. They're 4-0. I think they won last night, too. So 5-0. And Washington, also 5-0. So those are some of the teams that I'm really favoring because they just keep covering.
Yeah, all these teams seem to be on a hot streak right now, without a doubt. That Purdue team is like a freight train running through their conference schedule. So definitely teams to keep an eye on. And I do agree with you back up top. I still think Marquette's overrated, even though they continue to cover numbers. Yep. And NC State, too. They played well against Virginia, but it took a feverish second half comeback to get them with inside the number. So
right. So what about your action index? Who are we looking at here?
Not a ton of change near the top. Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, Michigan State remain in the top four. North Carolina's number five. Tennessee, six. Two Big Ten teams, Michigan and Purdue, has jumped into the top ten at number eight.
Get on the bandwagon.
So Boilers on the rise. Kentucky Wildcats, after the big win over Kansas, are ninth. Virginia Tech is another team that's been heating up lately. After that big loss to Virginia, they have looked good the past couple of outings. And I think that they're playing well right now and definitely deserving of that top 10.
You've got Nevada dropping in the index, huh?
Yeah. Nevada down to 20 in the action index this week.
Okay. So you said you wanted to share some tools with College Hoops Betting here. What do we got?
Yeah, something that I've been using a lot lately is teamrankings.com. And I know it's a site that we talked about early on in the show, but there's a multitude of information that you can use for basketball handicapping. You select a game and it'll give you head-to-head results from the prior year, over and under analysis by schedule to show how they've performed in the last few games, whether games are going over or under the totals values themselves, and the value that they're going over and under.
That's great.
So tons of great information there. You can look at efficiency metrics as well, all in a one-stop shop.
Is it subscriber-based?
No, this is all free.
Oh, that's great. I like free.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You also got basketballreference.com. I like that.
Been using that one quite a bit lately, too, specifically to look at stats and values from years prior. When you look at some of these conference matchups, teams tend to play similarly against that conference opponent that they have in years past.
Yeah, especially if it's the same coach, right? For sure.
Absolutely.
And then you've got some futures ad. What do you got here?
Yeah, so I teased this earlier, and after I watched Iowa State demolish Mississippi on Saturday, I got to thinking that I wonder what their title odds are like, because they really fit the profile for me.
Okay.
They are number 12 in KenPom right now and are shooting the ball lights out, just shy of 56% in effective field goal percentage.
Right.
Their adjusted offense is up to 12th, and their defense has been slowly rising as well, now up to 26th in adjusted defensive efficiency.
That's right.
And the profile of national champions year over year have been top 25 in offense and top 25 in defense.
That's
so
right.
If they get in there, I see some value, and I looked them up at 75-1 and placed an added futures bet on them to win the title.
Well, they're going to come out of the tough Big 12. There's a lot of great teams there. It's funny because at the top, it's like Kansas State or something. And
yeah.
I don't believe they're going to hold up there. You've got Texas Tech. But the difference between Iowa State and those other teams is this team can score. And I think that as much as we talked about Texas Tech before, they're really good. But they're like way down there. They just bust into the top 100 in offensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. Kansas State's like 200th in offensive efficiency. And you can see Kansas is on the slide down. So that's a great eye.
Yeah,
great
I'm angle. Hoping they can make a run in that Big 12 and potentially crack the top 16 seeds if they can get in that 3-4 range. I think I'll like the value here even more.
Absolutely. So we're doing this a little bit later. We had some other matchups earlier in the week, but what spots are you eyeing this week in college basketball?
Two Big Ten Friday nighters that I like, both unders, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. Michigan plays at Iowa on Friday, and the total has been posted at 142.5, which I've already bet. Michigan's ranked second in adjusted defense in KenPom, and they've played four straight unders, and 8 out of the last 11 have gone under. Okay. And add to that, their offense has really sputtered lately. Mm-hmm. Something doesn't seem quite right with them. Jordan Poole has been shooting a little bit poorer than he had earlier in the season.
Okay.
And Iowa's actually playing some decent defense lately.
Yep.
They're averaging 82 points per game on the defensive side of the ball, but if you look at their home metrics, they've actually had more unders at home games this year than overs at 8-5 to the under.
Well, I see. You're right. I think Michigan, the way that they've been playing, they've been trying to win with the defense. They're definitely not trying to score, and that's the model that they have. But I think this could go under simply because if they're going to win that game, they could really hold Iowa to a low total. So yeah. I like that spot.
And I've been noticing on these Friday night odd tip times, it's kind of a weird schedule for the Big Ten, and these teams tend to come out a little bit slowly. They're early tip times as well on a Friday night. It's just not normal for their body clocks. So
it's true.
Same reason I like the Maryland and Wisconsin under too. Okay. Opened up at 131.5. And this Wisconsin team is probably one of the slowest paced teams in the nation.
Yeah.
331st in pace. And Maryland's pretty slow too. They play 252nd ranked pace. So Wisconsin home games are always very slow, and they really like to slow it down there in Madison.
Mm-hmm. I love the matchup in that game, too. The two big men will be great. What is his name?
Hap
and Francisco, was that his name? Fernando.
Fernando,
yeah.
Bruno Fernando.
Yeah, that's going to be a great matchup. So it could be just kind of an old-school basketball game. So the under sounds good in that one. The next game, we've got Texas at Iowa State. There's your darling. Iowa State's 9-point favorites at home. The total's 138. This is Saturday on the 2nd. You like your Cyclones, huh?
Yeah. These Cyclones are playing really well. Their offense, like we had mentioned, is lighting up the scoreboard, and now they're 26th in defensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
They are 0-2 in their last two home games, but I think the Hilton Magic will come to life this weekend, and they should be able to beat these Texas Longhorns.
Well, Texas is 1-3 in their last four on ATS, so I think they're going to be okay. Texas is one of those teams that really plays good defense, but they can't score as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like Iowa State in that one, too. 9's a big number, but I'm going to go with your metric, that 8-10 or 7-10 points that those guys cover at home.
And this is the number that I pulled out. I expect it might open up a little bit lower than that, especially because Texas just beat Kansas earlier this
week.
That's
right. They did. The game I like, North Carolina, is at Louisville. Louisville's playing some good ball. North Carolina is 1.5-point favorite on the road at Louisville. The total is 157. Chris Mack has turned this team around. Not that they were terrible, but obviously with Pitino leaving, there was a lot of unrest. Hard to imagine that this team was going to pick up basically where they left off. And so the Duke can coach. He's got an undermanned squad, and I think that he's got his team at 14th in offensive efficiency in KenPom, and they're 3-1 at home against the spread in their last four. I definitely like the Cardinals here, so what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. If Louisville opens up as an underdog, like we talked about earlier, I'm going to be jumping on that too. I think North Carolina is still quite a bit overrated, and Jordan Nwora, the Louisville player, has just been playing really well this year, averaging 18.2 points per game.
Nice.
And I like him to light up the scoreboards against the Tar Heels on Saturday.
All right. Another Big Ten tilt.
Yeah.
You love these first half unders. Rutgers at Ohio State. The game, Ohio State's 10-point favorites at home. The total is 127, which is low already. What's the first half under?
I'm projecting the first half under would be about 61.
Okay.
And an angle that I've been eyeballing the past few weekends are these Saturday morning, well, morning for me,
like 11
the
a.m.
noon Eastern tip games in the Big Ten especially have been going under at an insane rate. And add that to two very slow teams, Rutgers historically plays a lot of unders. In fact, I think that they have gone under in somewhat like three or four straight games. And Ohio State likes to play slow as well, both very defensive minded. And this one, 61 in the first half, is likely to go under pretty easily.
Okay. You got another couple games on here. Syracuse at Pitt. Syracuse, a 2-point favorite on the road. Total's 131. This is Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, this is a spot that I was picking out to fade Syracuse, mainly because of that schedule. They've had some pretty tough games recently.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh has not been playing poorly. They have a pretty legit defense, ranked number 11 in defensive efficiency. And I think that they are going to be able to shut down that Q's offense, which tends to struggle to score occasionally. So anywhere Pittsburgh getting points, I'm going to be taking them with the Pittsburgh team.
Okay, I'll probably stay away. I don't like Syracuse on the road either, but they have been 2-1 on the road their last three, so I'll stay away. This is a big game. St. John's at Duke. Duke's a 20-point favorite, is that right? At home, at least it's in Cameron?
My numbers show Duke has 20-point favorites at home.
That's a big number. But the total is 160, and you like the over in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to be waiting on pins and needles tomorrow night for this line to come out and bet a lot on the over, no matter the number, because these two teams are going to run, and run some more.
Mm-hmm.
35th and 15th in pace, and both of them play pretty good offense, too. Duke's number 5. And St. John's is no slouch at 41.
Yeah, so, Samari Pons can light it up. They had a ton of threes last night in their win over was Creighton. Yeah,
yep.
Beat Creighton bad. Mm-hmm. So that'll be an interesting game. Duke lost to St. John's last year, didn't they, in Madison Square Garden?
I can't remember if that was last year, but definitely recently one of those games they've dropped.
All right, another game we're eyeing is Miami is going to Virginia. For some reason, Miami stinks this year.
Horrible.
Virginia is a 22-point favorite at home, and the total is 127, so you like the Wahoos.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the number with Virginia on Saturday. This team is playing really well. They eked out a tough road win the other night at NC State, and their defense is just on another planet right now.
Yep.
Third ranked in defensive efficiency, and I just don't see how Miami's going to score against them, and they should be able to cover this number with ease.
All right, 22 is a big number for me to lay, but I get it. I mean, they're a great team. They're definitely at the top of the list there. And then Iowa State at Oklahoma. This is a big Monday matchup.
Mm-hmm.
You're projecting Oklahoma to be favored at home. I guess you're going with Iowa State again?
No, actually, I've been watching the angle on these big Monday games in the Big 12, and the home teams fare really well in these games. I've been watching it week over week. You had Texas that knocked off Kansas last week, and I think that Oklahoma coming off the short turnaround, Iowa State has to travel between Saturday and Monday to get there, and I'm going to be laying a short number with Oklahoma in this one.
Okay. Man, you're all over these games. We'll talk a couple more on the head-to-head. So in the NBA, we've just got a couple of notes. Chris Paul did return for the Rockets after missing 17 games with a hamstring. What's with this guy and his hamstrings?
He's old, man. Soft tissue injuries.
Don't I know it. But he ended up finishing. He had 25 minutes played in the last game with 12 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. That's getting it done.
Yeah, and they actually did cover that game, even though we had the wrong line there in our head-to-head. But then Houston went on the road again the other night and failed to cover again in another game, which now puts them at 3-7 against the spread in the last 10.
You're eyeing this Denver spot tomorrow night or Friday night?
Yep, this one I've been looking for about a week now. And looks like the Lions opening up about Denver, a 4.5-point favorite.
Okay.
And I'm going to fade this Houston team again and James Harden's tired legs. Even with Chris Paul back in the lineup, I still think that they're going to struggle against Denver on Friday night.
Denver's a very good ball club, too. So and Denver's it's a mile-high city, man.
Yeah.
People get a little tired up there.
Tough to go there, absolutely.
You ever played basketball in that altitude?
I haven't, but I've done plenty of skiing, and I know how hard that is.
All right, let's go over the NHL puck line action that, you know, Paulie Howard and Mitch Moss love, the VSiN. They made it famous. So what's going on?
Yeah, the Follow the Money 5, they're called, the top 5 teams here.
Nice.
There was some concern over the airwaves that coming out of the All-Star break, which was about 5 days long, some of these offenses might sputter coming out of the gate. That did not happen. Columbus and Buffalo went over in the first 3 minutes, I think. They posted 4 goals in the first period on Tuesday night. And then Pittsburgh, another favorite by the Follow the Money team, played last night, and the VIG was minus 200 to go over 1.5 goals. Well, I laid it, and they posted 3 in the first period against Tampa.
No problem.
And on its way to a 4-2 win last night. So goes to show you that there is no stopping these offenses.
That's
and
right.
There are some spots that are upcoming this weekend too, specifically two tomorrow night on Friday when Chicago goes on the road to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm projecting the VIG to be about 170.
Wow.
Well, that's where my numbers put it.
Sure.
And anything less than that, I'll probably lay. And similarly, Tampa Bay plays the New York Islanders on Friday night, where I expect the VIG to be about minus 200. Mm-hmm. And I'll go under that one as well, over the total, the VIG comes in under.
We're talking, the biggest thing is they can't change the total, because if they mm-hmm. go to two, everybody's going to bet the under. So they're kind of hamstrung now. But hey, man, keep laying it. What is your average bet on those? Are you just doing the 20 bucks for 10?
I bet enough to win 2 units.
Okay.
So I'm laying, you know, the minus 200, I'm laying 40 bucks to win 20.
And is there a limit on that one?
No limit that I'm aware of. I suppose I might reach it eventually, but that's doubtful anytime soon.
Attaboy. Well, keep it rolling. All right, let's go over the head-to-head, our last part of the segment. We're going to speak a little extensively about the Super Bowl and the side and total here. But before that, let's go over the college basketball, kind of knock that out.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have the Friday night action. We love the Friday night action, don't we, Action?
Yeah, we do.
Michigan is going to Iowa. Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite. What say you on that one, Action?
I like Iowa to cover this game at home. They've been playing quite a bit well more recently. They had a big win at Minnesota the other week. And as I mentioned earlier, this Michigan offense has really been struggling a little bit lately.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa has been playing decent defense, too. So I think that Michigan kind of got lucky with the schedule last week playing against Indiana. And I think that going on the road to Iowa will be a little bit tougher of a task.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the Wolverines. I think they're a really good team. Obviously, the number 3.5 is a big number. I actually saw it at 3 in other places. So they play close games. I mean, they're a really good defensive team. I'm hoping they come out strong like they did against Indiana and kind of take control of the game early. Iowa definitely is a good offensive team. And as you noted earlier, they've gotten better at home on defense. However, I've got them in my rating at 126th in defensive efficiency. So I think when push comes to shove, as the game goes on, Michigan will be able to stretch out that lead and cover the 3.5. The next one is St. John's at Duke. The total is 161. That's how we're grading it. We said 160 earlier. I'm going to go with the under. I know that we've talked about it's going to be a run and gun fest, but that's 80-81 is the mm-hmm. that's the score. That's a very high college game. Obviously, it can happen, but I'm definitely comfortable taking the under, mainly because I think Duke's going to actually control this game, and I don't know if St. John's is going to put up a fight to the end to kind of stretch that number over the 161.
See, I think they're going way over, and I think Duke's going to cover to 93-69 over.
There you go. You've already done the math. 93, that's a big total. Okay, let's jump into the Super Bowl. This is the big one. It's the big game. Atlanta got it in the, what is it called down there? The Mercedes-Benz
Dome?
Something.
Yeah.
We got the Patriots are 2.5-point favorites. I am going to take the Patriots, I know. But I do want to talk about this a little bit. It's kind of off the head-to-head.
Okay.
So we talked about this originally. I've got this future ticket. It's just a $10 future ticket. I'll win 90 bucks if the Rams win. So obviously I'm rooting for the Rams. I want to win more money. But how would you approach it? I mean, I'm going to take the Patriots now in the 2.5, mainly because I just think Tom Brady's going to beat Goff, and I think Belichick's going to have a better game plan. But how would you approach it in terms of the hedge?
Well, I mean, there's two ways you could play it. You could either lay this 2.5 points that mm-hmm. the spread is currently at minus 110, or potentially even a lower VIG, too, if you shop around. Or you could play the money line, which
right.
it looks like at BetOnline right now is minus 138, which would obviously pay you out quite a bit less on your hedge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So to be honest with you, I would probably lean towards the spread here. There's mm-hmm. not really a huge difference between zero, a money line, and this minus 2.5, because it's very rare that you see these games land on 2 or 1.
Right.
The chances of that happening are probably way less than 5%, which is close to what you're paying in that money line anyways.
Okay.
So I would definitely lean towards the spread here. I would probably bet it earlier than later, though, because mm-hmm. I'm hearing that there may be some books that go to 3 by kickoff.
Right. Would you also, in terms of the hedge, would you put more than my normal unit down, or would you, because I've got a potential, I've only put down 10 to mm-hmm. to win the 90, right? So would you, you know, do a little bit more exposure because of the lost earnings, or would you just say just stick to the one unit and win the unit, and then you just kind of forego the loss on the Rams?
Well, it certainly depends on how confident you feel in the Rams winning the game, right? If you want to win some money out of this, obviously you could lay a little bit more than your $10,
sure,
maybe two units, and that way you can lock in a profit, either one or seven in that case. But, I mean, me personally, I think the Rams have a really good shot to win this game.
They do.
I would probably hedge a little bit less than what you would normally think on the Patriots. Plus, I would so much rather cheer for the Rams myself, too. So
I'll be cheering for them.
I would definitely overlay what you initially put down so you can lock in a profit. But I wouldn't go too much further over that, personally.
Okay. Thanks for the aside. Mm-hmm. So you can go your handicap with the Rams. I obviously stick to the Patriots. I think my bottom line is Belichick and Brady. Those are the two I need to win this game, and it's close enough. It's not like it's six or five or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's a field goal. They can win that. So what do you say about the Rams?
Well, I think that Todd Gurley is really going to have some success. I mentioned earlier, I think they were holding him back a little bit in order to make sure that he's very healthy for this game.
Okay.
He's had 2 weeks off now, and this Rams offense has been historically one of the best in the NFL. I mean, the Chiefs' offense was so prolific that people kind of forgot about the Rams. But if you remember in that mid-season game when they played, this offense was extremely prolific.
Right.
And I know that Bill Belichick is the mastermind and has historically been very good at changing his game plan at halftime and coming out and with second half adjustments. But Sean McVay might be his equal.
Sure.
He showed in that NFC Championship game at halftime, they came out and he really schooled Sean Payton in that second half.
He did.
So I expect that the Rams may do that again. And I certainly would like the 2.5. I'm waiting around for this to get to 3, and I'm probably going to be on the Rams plus 3 when it gets there.
Okay. I mean, I understand it. I think that on paper, the Rams have more talent than the Patriots, but that's typical, you know, for the Patriots. The Chiefs were more talented.
True.
And I think the key for the Rams to win really bases on that defense, the defensive line.
Without a doubt.
Can they get to Brady? He's going to do the quick game, so then it's about, can those linebackers rally up and make hits that maybe cause turnovers? Because that's something the Chiefs really didn't do anything. They didn't really make big hits and punish Edelman and punish James White or whoever. They couldn't stop the run either. I think the Rams are going to stop the run. I think it's going to be in Brady's hands. And I agree that Gurley's a huge factor. The Patriots have been able to stuff up both running attacks of, you know, the Chargers and the Chiefs. But he's a difference maker. Maybe they try something different than that stretch run that they always do. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just getting him the ball in space, kind of running that kind of seam route or kind of, you know, flat routes to get him the ball earlier so he can get one-on-one with some of those linebackers. So I hear the angle. It's hard for me to imagine Goff making it happen. I think the Patriots are going to try to take away the running game. And to see if Goff's going to have to make some throws. But, hey, man, like I said, I'm rooting for the Rams all the way. So in the total, though, it's 56.5. That's the total. And you're over on that total.
Yeah, there has been some money come in on the under. It was 58, as we talked last week, and it's now down to 56.5. So there's certainly been some money there. But I still like a lot of scoring in this game.
Okay.
I think that it's probably going to start out slow, like we mentioned, especially Bill Belichick loves to play that way early in Super Bowls.
Right.
But I expect that there's going to be some offensive success in this game. And both of these offenses can certainly put up points. So 56.5 is obviously a very high total for a Super Bowl, but I'm going to be betting this to go over in our head-to-head. Probably stay away in real life.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go under. I think there's two factors. One is the last time the Patriots really were beaten, so to speak, not just the Eagles because they scored 50 points or something, was against Wade Phillips in that defense and in Denver. Now, it's a different style defense, and they don't quite – I mean, they have the secondary guys. I don't think Peters is as good as what they had in Denver. But I think that he has a blueprint to beat Brady and the Patriots, and at a minimum, slow him down.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to hit him all the time. And on the flip side, the Patriots' defense has gotten so much better since the second half of the season. The play calling is just different. You'll see them go cover zero. You'll see them actually bring pressure – more than they ever did. And obviously with Patricia leaving last year to coach the Lions, they have a new defensive coordinator. And this guy, this guy's a little bit atypical. He obviously follows a game plan, but he actually comes with non-normal blitz packages, and he plays a lot differently than past Patriots teams were more bend and not break. So I do believe this actually, I think it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. I think this game, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it went over the total, but I'd definitely be surprised if it got, like, if it's going to be in the 30s like that Kansas City Patriots game. I think it's definitely going to be in the 20s.
Yeah, 28, 29 will get me there. So
exactly. So, all right. Well, that's the big show. I mean, it wasn't that big. I guess it was about not normal, but it felt long. We had a great show here. We really appreciate everybody listening and changing up the schedule. We'll see what we do next week. I know you got a trip, right?
Yeah, I'll be gone, so we'll have to revisit our schedule.
Exactly, but we really appreciate everybody listening, and tell your friends, like the podcast, and hopefully you'll win some money this week on the big Super Bowl.
Yeah, huge Super Bowl weekend, and lots of college basketball on the slate Saturday, too. I know I'll be diving in tomorrow night and probably post some more plays, most likely more first half unders. But
you love those.
But thanks again for listening, everyone, and hopefully you can really enjoy your Super Bowl. And for those of you in the Midwest, hopefully you unfreeze at some point in the next few hours and get back to real life.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 50 on Monday.
Crazy, right? It's negative 20 here today in Chicago, and 50 on Monday, 70 degree swing.
That's unbelievable. So, all right, well, check us out. Check out the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Check out me personally at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Enjoy the game.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.